Welcome to Car Wash, the podcast. Your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. So put it in neutral, feet off the brakes, and take your hands off the steering wheel. Here is your guide on this journey, Matt DeWolf.
Hey, everybody, welcome to this episode of Car Wash, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Matt DeWolf. And friends, this is the podcast for you if you want to be a better car washer and a slightly better human being. Hopefully, you want to be more than just a slightly better human being. Maybe you are already an amazing human being, but there's always room for growth, friends. And so today, we've got a really great conversation for you. We're going to be talking to Jonathan and Lindsay Wiles all about how they took what maybe you could consider is something used to become a better car washer. And in that act, made us all better human beings for it. It's a fun promotion. It's a great story. Jonathan and Lindsay, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us, Matt.
So we're not going to go right here because, you know, you're supposed to tease it, right? So we have a story. We are going to tell it. It's going to be super interesting about what you all did with some microfiber towels. But before we get there, I want to start back a little bit at the beginning, as they say. Talk to me a little bit about your all's path into the car wash industry.
I'll let Lindsay take that one.
Okay. So it's a family business. It started with my stepfather, Roger Kuby. He was a med sales rep, and he had one of those blue cloth towels that you sell in an OR, and he had it in the back of his car, and the guy at the car wash saw it and asked if he could buy it, and he was like, maybe I could do something with this. So he started literally selling them to just local car washes. And then he married my mom, who was the head of the OR. And she took over and ran the business for several years after that, mainly selling that blue towel. But we kind of metamorphosed into selling vending supplies. And now we've expanded to much more than just the blue towel.
Yeah, I think the claim to fame was really bringing cloth towels to self-serve car washes, where at that time in the late 80s, it was mainly Armor All, Little Trees, and maybe a paper towel. And so they kind of had this idea that, you know, where instead of vending something for 25 cents or 50 cents, if they could get people to maybe consider vending something for a dollar and making a little bit more profit margin in there, it could take off. So yeah, they started it off, like she said, kind of selling it out. I mean, we were around this when we were kids. We've known each other for a long time. So even going on vacation, family vacations with her family always entailed stopping at car washes. Yeah.
Checking vending machines and
seeing what was in the Laurel vendor and what decal they had. And at some point, you know, along the way, they picked up some distribution with CleanRite. And from that point forward, they just started adding different terry towels or detailing diapers or glass cleaner or tire shine. And I would say for 20, 30 years, it was specifically self-serve car wash products for vending.
And then in the last 10 years or so, we've expanded to all types of car
full serve and express and some retail.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you guys are in the business of selling the towels that all the customers love to steal.
That's the black microfiber.
Yeah.
Which is great because that keeps you guys in business.
That's right.
Because the towels keep disappearing. I feel like there may be a conspiracy at play. Tell me a little bit about your all's roles in the company. What do you guys do? What's your specific titles here?
Well, it's a pretty lean ship. So our company is basically Lindsay and myself. Roger and Becky, who started the company, they're semi-retired. They live in Florida. So we run the business together. I guess I'm the sales and marketing guy. I could be a sales and marketing director if it sounds good, but I make phone calls. I meet with people. I do the traveling, things like that. And the graphic design and media things along, anything that has to do with sales and marketing. It's kind of my role. And then we have a freight manager and Lindsay kind of headed up all of the office, including our workshop for people with special needs, which you can talk about that.
So that's a big part of your time. I'm a teacher at heart. And so I was teaching in elementary school, and we had a need in our office for Our production team, we used to outsource to people with special needs outside of our warehouse. And that industry kind of changed and we couldn't use them anymore. And we have a daughter with Down syndrome. So we were trying to figure out how can we continue to do this in-house. So I left my job teaching and now I am in charge of those people that come and do production for our office. And I also do the books.
Fascinating. So, okay. So true entrepreneurial kind of story here, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is about as bootstrap as you get.
Yeah.
But that's great because that means you all get to wear lots of hats.
Mm-hmm.
I want to dive in a little bit. I didn't know we were going to go here, but we are. I want to know a little bit more about that, that effort to really think differently about the people that you can employ to really give them opportunities, right? Like people with Down syndrome, we've talked about all kinds of neurodivergent opportunities for people in the past. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit more about what that looks like for you all.
Well, so we have three permanent employees right now that have special needs. Two of them have Down syndrome and one is like developmentally delayed. And then we have six interns that come in a couple times a week as well, who have an array of disabilities. And usually what we do is just like with your own children, where they all have their strengths and weaknesses, is you kind of assess what they can do and how well they can do it. And then you try to find where that fits in the business. And so some of them are great at pumping chemical and others are great at putting on labels and others are great at folding. And we just try to find their strengths and give them something that they can feel proud of. And so that's really what we do.
Yeah. I think having a child with special needs, as parents, you realize just because they have some challenges in life, it doesn't mean they don't have purpose.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that they can't find something in life that fulfills that, you know, their need to work, their need to produce something, their need to be valuable to themselves and to those around them. So I think the more opportunities we can allow for that, the better you are as a person, but also as a company.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we ever considered having our daughter work with us, but after she graduated high school, we live in a very small farm town. There's not a lot of opportunity for them to have like a career or anything quite like that. So this is a really interesting, I guess we had an advantage because it's a small town. So what Lindsay actually did was she talked to the state of Virginia as well as the local high schools to develop this program where they can bring in, the state can bring in job candidates that need work. But the school system kind of uses QuickDry, or a lot of the listeners might know us as QBs, QB Enterprises. As kind of a testing ground for some of these kids. So they're postgraduate kids. In the state of Virginia, you can go to college. I mean, you can go to high school. Is it 22?
Till
you're 22, even if you've graduated. And so they use our facility. The kids come in. We do like job interviews with them to help them answer questions better or help them fill out resumes or things. And we do that all in our office, as well as like job evaluations, how well they're doing. And it just, I don't know, it's really important to the kids that are taking part in it because they can't wait to come to work and fill glass cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't wait to come to work and put 45,000 stickers on microfiber towels.
Yeah.
I mean, it just brings a lot of value. And I don't know if that's tangible, but it's definitely enriching. I mean, it's something that I look forward to every day. And if I'm having a hard day, I can go into our workroom and listen to music with those guys. And I don't know, it's important to us.
Well, there's real power there, right? I mean, it's at the most fundamental level, when you're talking about, you know, trying to identify everybody's strengths and weaknesses and putting them in the right places, that's no different from anybody else on this planet when it comes to, you know, running a business, right? You're trying to optimize your people. But I think what comes through and what you guys are talking about that's equally as important is this concept of everybody wants to matter,
mm-hmm.
right? And they want that purpose and to be able to give that through your business and especially with you all being so close to the special needs background with your own family, like this is, that's a, guys, I said we were going to make people better human beings. I wasn't ready for this.
This
was not, I think that's great stuff. That's so good. So you're already like winning at being humans.
Well, we try.
And then we go.
We try to keep
And then
up.
You decide, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do pink microfiber towels. And we're going to do a whole breast cancer campaign. Mm-hmm. Where did that come from? Like, how did that even happen?
You want me to take this one?
Yeah.
Okay. So, throughout the years, we've had different customers ask for pink towels around October. Because as we've learned through this, a lot of car wash operators are already linked up with different foundations and charities mm-hmm. To raise awareness for breast cancer. And so people would kind of ask, the issue was for us to get towels is a time consuming process. So we just can't get them on the spot in October. We work with factories overseas. And so we've never really been able to go with the idea. You know, we get a couple calls a year that say, hey, do you have any pink towels? We're doing this thing for breast cancer awareness. It wasn't until a pretty large operator asked us if it's something that we could do last year, and we had a plan for it, or the year before last, and we had a plan for it this year. And so they needed pink towels for 90 plus locations. And it just kind of made us think like this, you know, this could be a really good thing for the car wash market, because everyone seems to actually really rally around a need, a cause. And it was kind of started that way, just like these guys needed this towel. It was a really good idea. And I think it was Roger who had the idea. That's the owner, Lindsay's stepdad. Okay. Roger had the idea that whatever we make on this, we need to give back. So he kind of tasked us with finding one or two partners, one national and one local, that we could take our proceeds from and give back to those causes. So just right off the bat, Lindsay started researching who we could talk to, who we could support. And we decided to use to go with breastcancer.org on a national level, and then Hospice of the Piedmont. Well, Hospice, I think, is national, but Hospice of the Piedmont is local to Virginia. And we reached out to them and kind of told them what we were doing, and they were super excited. And then as that's kind of happening, other car washes kind of catch wind that we're doing this. And at some point in that, we had to decide, we had to plan it out. So do we want to bring in one container of towels or two or three, or what is it? How's this going to shape up? Are we going to get to October and be way short on towels? Or are we going to get to October and have a warehouse full of towels? And what's the best, like, fiscally responsible way to get the best bang for your buck in order to help breastcancer.org or hospice? You know, how do we do it? We've never done anything like this before. And so we decided at the ICA show last year to take pre-orders, which some of the listeners might have seen. Like, our booth had bright pink carpet. it was, we touted it as the ugliest booth at the show, but it was,
you win.
You know, you could see it, you knew what was going on. And then, you know, for the customers that usually just walk past, they'd be like, what is going on with this pink carpet? And then they would come in and we would tell them what we were doing. You know, you can order these pink towels for October. And we heard so many stories that impacted us about people that either were going through cancer or had gone through it or had relatives that had. And so I think that last year's car wash show was probably the most touching, emotional. I don't know. It was meaningful. It was meaningful to, yeah. It's hard to relate to people when you're talking about microfiber towels. Mm-hmm. But when you start talking about real life with people, you get to know them better. So it was like a really meaningful thing. But anyway, it just kind of grew. And so as we had to get that order in the factory by May, or else no one was going to have pink towels at all. And we just started getting calls after the show of people who said, we want to do this. Can we do it if we're already linked up with a different foundation? How do we interact with it? So it was a lot of education and a lot of phone calls coming into our office, and the towels came in 3 weeks later than we needed them to. And it was super stressful, but we got them all out the door. We got them there by October the 1st.
Well, did you have enough towels?
We did. Okay. We just enough.
We made it through.
Which is great, because you know, so like I've got one, right? And maybe the smartest move of all is that there's no year on this, right? So yep. even if you had a warehouse full of pink towels, you could use them
next year. That's right. Yeah.
But okay, so talk to me about kind of the stress of that, and like stuff's coming in late. You still got to get these things out the door. Mm-hmm. Tell me how you did that. Like, talk me through that experience.
I think the first challenge, I'll let you talk about the production part, because that was a blast. The first challenge is we sell towels. We have customers that are self-serve, full-serve, express. It runs the gamut. And some of them have actual retail, like gas stations, things like that. So everybody had a different idea on what they needed out of this towel. Some people needed it packaged, like individually folded and packaged. Some people wanted to actually put it in operation, have it on the line. They just needed bulk, you know, towels. So the first thing that we discovered is we needed to bring in the towels a few different ways for people, and several people wanted them private labeled. So, you know, an individual package with their branding or their car wash name or the name of the foundation that they were using these towels to support. So there was a lot of custom stickers made. They were here on time. The stickers were here. And then the towels did come in, and we had a week to label. I don't know how many there were.
Thousands.
It was a sea of pink towels.
We basically had a big pizza production party, and we invited all our friends, and we sat and just stickered those, reboxed them, and got them out the door.
We would get here at 7 in the morning and have dinner here and watch movies and just sticker towels. We've got some pictures. Roger and Becky came and helped sticker towels. Mm-hmm. Our children came and helped sticker towels. The kids from our youth group came and sticker towels. I mean, it was mathematically
all hands on deck.
Mathematically improbable that we could get it done. Yeah. But it just turned into a big like week and a half long party. And our freight manager was awesome. She had the system where is the minute they were done, they were out the door. Yeah. I think that was it.
Yeah.
But production wise, we just had to focus on that to get it done. I don't know if we're going to do it quite like that again.
We hope to be better prepared.
Yeah.
There may be some room for improvement, right?
Oh, there. Yeah, there was. This was the dry run.
Well, you know what though? Here's the next question. Do you miss those nights? Right? Everybody stickering towels. Like, do you miss that?
Oh, I think it was a blast.
It was fun.
I would do it that way all the time.
I don't know if I missed the phone calls from the car washes saying,
maybe not the stress. Stress was yeah.
It was fun.
Well, you can just have people are always talking about, well, what should we do to boost morale for the employees? Just have like a monthly stickering party.
Yeah, that's it. Put on some Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Bring in some pizza.
There you go. That's perfect. So you were talking a little bit about how, you know, different business models were needing different kind of packaging for the towels, some custom stuff all over the place. Was there any way that any of the operators maybe used the towels or gave them out, or anything that they were doing with them that maybe was surprising to you or super interesting?
I thought they used it ways we hadn't thought about. Like, we were just thinking like you can put it in a vending machine or you could give it out free. And they are the ones who came up with, well, what if we put a QR code on our sticker that goes to
our membership page.
Yeah.
Or, you know, things like that. Like that, we hadn't thought of that. So I feel like it was really collaborative between once they told us what they needed and once we told them what we had, we kind of figured it out.
Yeah. I kind of assumed most people would just kind of, I don't know, just have them around on site. If their employees were going to wear pink, then they could use a pink towel. I mean, I just kind of thought of it more in a generic, just a pink out. We called it a pink out. You've seen it at like, college football games. You'll see them do like white out nights or whatever. We just kind of saw it as a pink out thing. We talked to Benny's Car Wash. They actually turn all their LED lights pink for that. And that was kind of one of the ideas to do like this pink out. So I was just kind of thinking, well, you're using towels anyway, just turn them pink for the month.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where my brain stopped. I was like, well, we could just do that. And then we had customers call and say, can we vend these? Can we take all the towels out of our vending machine for October and just vend pink ones? So that was kind of, for me, unexpected. I thought it was really cool. Mm-hmm. I know College Park did that. I think Waterway did it in their store where their towels just turned pink. And I didn't quite expect some of the full service to actually put them into operation, but we saw a lot of that. A lot of the full service guys actually used pink towels. Like they just replaced the red ones or the blue ones or whatever. And
they wore pink hats. And
Yeah. I couldn't believe, obviously everybody's a lot smarter than me. But the idea of putting a QR code on the packaging where, you know, at the pay station, they were handing them to customers. And then that QR code would go to their membership landing page. And then at that point, any of the revenue they were making from their new memberships for that month, they would donate that to the charity of their choice. So in that way, it was kind of a pay it forward thing because we were giving our proceeds to breastcancer.org and hospice, but they were actually making revenue on the towels that then they were giving to the charity of their choice. Mm-hmm. So,
God, I love
and
that.
I don't think we saw that coming, that they would also give to their.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't even been able to count up the number of foundations and charities and research things that this campaign, that the car wash market has touched, are pulled together. It's in dozens, just that I'm aware of.
Well, yeah. And has to be tens of thousands of dollars of contributions, right?
It certainly. Yeah.
I mean, it's, this is one of my favorite things about this industry, and people are maybe a little bit surprised by it, but the impact that car washes and people in the car wash industry have in their communities is incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get the fortune to kind of see from a macro level what's going on, and there are so many stories about people raising so much money for such a good cause, mm-hmm. and it just builds on it, builds and it builds and it builds, and it's so awesome.
Yeah.
And now you guys know.
Yeah.
You started this thing and it just tumbled.
Yeah.
I love that you guys started with such a fun idea, right? Like, let's just do this pink towel. That's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And then again, it got into like the car wash ethosphere here, mm-hmm. and just started building, and it just morphed into something completely different. Was there ever a point where you were like, oh my gosh, what have we done?
There was a point where I said, we're going to have to do this forevermore. They did reach that point where we realized this wasn't a one-time thing. This is going to be something that's going to grow and something we need to do every year. It was more successful than we could have imagined. And we met so many cool people along the way doing it. And people are already asking, are we doing it again? Is it going to happen again? And so there was definitely that point. There, obviously, labeling stickers at 10 o'clock at night, I definitely thought, what if we could do better? We could do this better. But then what I was really thinking was, we're going to do this again, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're going to do this again.
We were definitely making notes the whole time going, next year, when we do this, it's going to look like this.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it then. What's staying and what's leaving? What are you guys going to do to either improve upon or enhance what you guys did this year?
Well, one of the things that we just lacked because we didn't think of it was people wanted a decal for their car wash vending machine. Mm-hmm. So that was something where it was just, we were too far into it. We didn't have time to do that. Yeah. So that's something that we will.
Yeah. Signage. Mm-hmm. Availability would be really
and now cool. That we know how different types of car washes can use it, mm-hmm. we can I think spread the word better on how if someone walks into our booth and says I'm an express wash, we can say, oh well, this is how you can do it.
Here's three ways that you can use this towel to support what you're already doing. Mm-hmm. Now that we've seen three ways to do it,
right.
I think
we're going to move our ordering line back a little bit too.
We need to move our ordering line a little bit back. Yeah. Hopefully there's no more pirates in the Red Sea.
Yeah.
That's been an issue worldwide. Yeah, I think as far as the labeling and packaging goes, we've been able to develop some relationships with our suppliers, where I think that we can do a better job at that, where we're bringing them in already packaged. So if X car wash orders however many, they just come in and they're ready to ship.
Yeah.
So there's some mechanisms that we've worked out there. So the packaging will be a lot more, what am I trying to say? It'll be easier to private label these, basically. Yeah. Where if the car wash really wants their stuff on it, that's possible this year. Mm-hmm. Where we're not just shooting from the hip and saying, yeah, we can put your logo on there. That's not a problem. And then looking at each other and going, can we put their logo on there? So yeah, that's been figured out, which is really cool.
Jonathan, that's typical sales, man. Yeah. You said, yeah, we can do it. Crap, can we do it? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty guilty of that.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it's a good thing we're married. We balance each other out in that way.
Yeah, we find our counterbalances, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. What about as you think about kind of what you've learned from this, or maybe something that's kind of left you with a little bit of a surprised feeling? What have you kind of taken from all of this experience?
For me, it's that everybody has a story. Yeah. Like you kind of know, yeah, breast cancer is a really big thing. But then when you're talking to people and it's story after story after story, it really hits home. Like, oh my goodness, this is huge. This is such a big issue in our world. It just makes it a lot more real.
Yeah. And I think it helped me understand, obviously, the car wash market is a business, but it really is made of people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like our industry, I mean, 95% of our sales come from car wash market. And this is our industry too. And mm-hmm. and to see it like humanized like that was really good. It's not just about washing a car or just, these are people. Everybody has a story. Everybody has, I don't know, a value that just is just, I don't know, just seemed, it seemed, it was touching, I guess. Mm-hmm. It was touching.
And it brings value to the car wash more than just getting a clean car.
Yeah.
You know, because there's people involved and emotions and relationships mm-hmm. involved. So.
Yeah. And I also really liked hearing people's story of how they were already linked up with other organizations and why they were linked up with those organizations, which was also really cool to hear that. But I mean, the takeaway for me is we are all people. We all have stories and we all have, I don't know, we all have a value that we carry with us. And it's really neat to see that unlocked with something where I normally wouldn't see it. Normally we're talking about the price of something. Or the cost of something, or logistics, mm-hmm. or how many locations do you have, or how can we get the towels to you faster, or things like that. But when you just stop and you talk about somebody's family member who's struggling, or you get a phone call and they're like, hey, I know you're doing this, I'm really struggling with this. Mm-hmm. And it built friendships, which I didn't expect, and just relationships. And it brought home to me the fact that this business is, if you forget about the relationship, like, what are you doing? So it was relational. And I liked that. I don't think that aspect will leave me. Just remembering that I'm talking to humans, not just a list of people to call or talk to, but, you know, people.
Can you walk me through a little bit? So you were just both talking a little bit about stories and, you know, especially as it relates to breast cancer and how that impacts so many people. Can you talk me through your decision point of like, how did you pick this?
The breast cancer?
Yeah. Specifically the two groups you picked.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, definitely.
So for the breastcancer.org, I really didn't know much at all about national organizations. And when I talked to other people, I was really surprised at how many people were like, oh, you don't want to give to so-and-so because X, Y, and Z, don't. And so that was a shock. Like, I'm just like, they're all good. So that was kind of hard. Like, getting through, you know, what each organization did. And so the reason that we chose breastcancer.org was what I really enjoyed about learning about that program is that they provide so much therapy, and
it's
more than therapy. It was kind of like anybody that everybody that's part of this person that has cancer that's affected by it, they can access something from them that would help, such as a group of people to support them, or figuring out how to do insurance or things like that. And it wasn't just, you know, money to make cancer science get better, but this was like, it helps everybody involved, including the person with cancer. And I really liked that. And from a just a personal standpoint, Jonathan's sister was dying from brain cancer at the time when we were doing all of this, and watching that our family go through that and knowing like, okay, this person could really use this right now. They could really have someone help navigate them through this was a big help. And then hospice was who took care of his sister at the end of her life. So that was also one of the reasons why we wanted more of a local feel. And of course, she lived in a different state, so that wasn't the same hospice we gave to, but we had numerous friends, and Roger and Becky's had numerous friends who also were helped by hospice.
Specifically.
Yeah. Yes. So that was a big reason why we chose those two.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I mean, it's so important to have that access to resources and like opportunity in these scenarios, because it's really easy in these kinds of scenarios to think about the outcome and the results, right? And it's like, you're so focused on the treatment plan and getting through that,
but
there's a whole lot of life happening outside of those particular lanes. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy for anybody. Yeah. I mean, we're all human beings. So, I feel like I've been made a better human being just by having this conversation with you all.
thank you.
I feel like, I mean, I got to do something now. Like, I don't, I'm not giving back enough.
You're getting the word out there. You're doing something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. This is my part. This is what I can do.
That's it.
I'm super excited for you guys. I think this was a super fun story. More than that, I think it was, from what I have now heard from you all, this is so perfectly aligned with who you all are as people. Mm. And by virtue of that, who you all are as a company, and how you want to show up every day. So I'm super excited to have been able to have this conversation with you all.
Yeah. Thanks for talking to
us. Really, we were honored to speak with you as well.
Yeah.
So last question, and I ask everybody this question. So I'm going to mumble through it a little bit so you can have a time to think about it. I'd like to ask, what's one thing that we can do today to be better tomorrow? And you both get to answer this question. One thing that we can do today to be better tomorrow. And it doesn't have to be car wash related. It can be life advice. It can be a personal mantra, anything you want.
Hmm. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
There's so many options.
Mm. Well, I think for me personally, I'm a youth minister as well. So I come across all sorts of people with all sorts of backgrounds all the time. And one thing that I try to do more than anything is just show kindness and love to anyone and everyone, no matter who they are or what their lifestyle looks like or anything like that. But just let them know that they're important. They have a purpose. And I want to encourage them on in whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine's along the same.
That's tough, Jonathan. Yeah. That's a tough follow.
Mine's definitely treating people like they're valuable.
Yeah.
And that's hard sometimes. We're not commodities. We're not leverages. But treating someone like they have value is sometimes hard if you're upset with somebody. But definitely I was going to say, if we could just be a little nicer, it'd be nice. That's one easy way to just stop yourself and be like, is this kind? I think there's a saying like, is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? I don't know if you've ever heard that. We have a friend that says that because I don't follow it very well. I say things without thinking, is this kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? And if it doesn't mean it, all three of those, just don't say it. But I think more importantly, yeah, just treating people like they have value in any situation, whether that's the lady at the grocery store that's being rude, or the lady checking you out, or whether it's a sales call. Put that first.
I love it. Lead with kindness, not with anger, friends. That is sage advice that we can all do better at, because it's super easy to access anger. It's harder to access kindness.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, like I said, I really appreciate you all taking the time to share your story with everybody. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do in the next 10 months or so. Those towels better be ordered by now.
Chop, chop.
Yeah, that's right. Start the spreadsheet now.
Yeah, it's no lollygagging.
Perfect. Friends, if you want more stories like this, make sure you're subscribed wherever you're getting your podcast content to Car Wash the Podcast. And you know, as always, when you're out there and you're just killing it washing cars, there's really just one thing you've got to do, and that is keep it clean.
Car Wash the Podcast is your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. Our show helps investors, owners, operators, and managers think about ways to enhance their business. Our podcast is a free on-demand audio program that provides information on the latest trends impacting the industry, tips from successful industry leaders, and inspiration for our listeners.